BJ will read our Old and New Testament scripture readings this morning.
Good morning again. Our scripture reading today, there is an Old Testament reading and a New Testament. From the Old Testament, it's 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels of all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door upon yourselves and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." The New Testament reading is from John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The winds blow where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whether it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but who descended from heaven? The Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of God be lifted up, that who believes in him may have eternal life." And one of my favorite verses, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." This is the reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. O Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we might hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. My father sent me off to college with his one word of advice and a handwritten note. He said, "Test the spirits, Paige. Test all the spirits and keep with you the ones that come from God." And I had a lot to think about. And I went to a youth meeting. At the end of the hour, it was time for Q&A, questions and answers. And a young man stood up and he said, "You know, everybody is born and everybody dies. But in between, not everybody gets the Spirit. You are a minister. how do you get the Spirit? And I was impressed with his question and his comment, and I said, who are you? And he said, my parents don't even know I'm here. They are not Christians. I came here tonight with my friend. I have questions, and I want something. That is what Nicodemus wants to know in John 3. When he sneaks out in the dark, Nick at night, to ask Jesus a few things. And they start to talk, and they get to talking about the Spirit, the personal experience and the shared experience of the Spirit of God. Was he anywhere near it? Now, you would think that Nicodemus would know, because he was an expert on religion in his day. He was sitting on the highest church council board, the Sanhedrin. He interpreted the whole Old Testament, the Torah, the writings, the prophets. He tries to keep all 613 laws to be a good example as a citizen. But there is something about Jesus. There is something that he sees, and he feels something, but he doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know where he comes from. He doesn't know where he's going. He said, you must be from God. He just guesses when he gets to Jesus. Because when you are near, the blind see, and the lame walk, and the sick heal. These are God things. Now let me be clear for a minute about the book of John, writing about this encounter. Two things St. John would never say are, it is what it is, and it's as plain as day. Because with John, it is always more than what it is, and it is always deeper than plain as day. In John, everything has double meaning. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life and living water, thirst no more, and bread to eat, hunger no more, the door you knock on to get into God's world, keep knocking, the Son of all humanity, the Son of Man. Have you ever tried to match the teachings of Scripture to the images and the symbols and the colors on all of our colored stained glass windows in the church? You know, when I say to you, what do you think when I say Jesus? Do you see a cross, a crown, a shepherd, an open door? The Holy Spirit is a dove. It's fire, it's wind, it's earthquake. All these ways of trying to get at what God is like. In John, everything is like this on a higher level, on a spiritual level. And we are all either in the dark living, or we're in the light. We either live by the flesh alone, or we live by the Spirit. We either see, or we are blind. We either get it or we don't. Or we don't know that we don't get it. Or we know that we don't get something, but we are not quite sure what we don't get. We have these questions and these longings and these needs about life and where to find it. We have God questions. Humans just do, like Nicodemus does. So in John 3, when Jesus and Nicodemus meet, it's a zany conversation. The best of the teachers of Israel, all Israel, Nicodemus, he's standing in front of the living word. He's standing in front of the flesh, everything he knows and read about. He's standing in front of Jesus. He doesn't know it. But have you ever tried to talk to somebody about the Spirit of God? It's not easy. The popular comedian Louis C.K., he tries out this conversation on a hip and intellectual audience on Saturday Night Live when he hosts. And people still talk about that time. C.K. says, I'm not religious. I don't know if there's a God. Some people think they know there's not a God. And that's a weird thing to say and think, you know, yeah, there's no God. Well, how do you know? Because I didn't see him. Well, how do you, you can only see for about 100 yards. It's a vast universe out there. If a building's in the way, you can't see. How do you know? Do you look everywhere? Did you look in the downstairs bathroom where he sometimes goes? I haven't seen him. It doesn't mean he doesn't exist. Say you're looking for a bunch of cool atheists and they're in leather and suede and smoking on their vape sticks or whatever they do, and they don't even think about God. It's not even on their radar to think about God, you know? Yeah. And they call them the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. No belief in God, no awareness of spirit of God. So here's how it goes in John 3 with Nicodemus. Jesus, you are doing God things. Are you here for our benefit? Nick, if you want to enter God's world, the kingdom of God, if you want the life-giving spirit, if you want fellowship with God, if you want God's love, if you want friendship with God, God's presence with you all the time, you have to be anathon, which means from above, born again. You got to come at everything that way. Jesus, you know some things you can't do twice. I've already been born. I'm here on the earth. Flesh gives birth to flesh, Nick. And spirit gives birth to spirit, Nick. And the spirit is like the wind. You can see the sound, you can hear the sound of it, but you can't see it. You can see its effects, but you do not know where it comes from, and you do not know where it goes. Do you see? And he doesn't. He says, what? Nick, are you a teacher of Israel about God, and it's too much for me to talk to you about spiritual things? Living your life looking for God in all things and God in you. That your spirit is born and then it grows, maybe, if you tend to it. How can you believe, Nick? And then John leaves the story right there, drops it, cliffhanger. I hated that for the longest time. Why? Does this kind of thing take time? It takes time to grow a spirit in you? How do some people get God a little bit or a whole lot with great gusto, with passion, you know, really live with spirit? Because everybody is born and everybody dies, but in between, not everybody gets the spirit. The next time we see Nicodemus and John is at the end of the book. Jesus is dying on the cross, and Nicodemus shows up with Joseph of Arimathea to take care of his body in John 19:39. I guess he's been growing in spirit. Today in the Old Testament, in that 2 Kings passage that BJ read, this woman whose life is filled with blessings to the rim. She has a good husband. She has not one good son, but two. She has a home. She has friends. She has neighbors. She's in the company of spirit-filled men all the time. And she is around regularly one of the greatest prophets that Israel has ever known, a miracle worker, Elisha. It's all good until her husband dies. And then suddenly she's a widow. And then she has no income. And she's about to lose everything. And creditors are coming to take her two sons as payment. And she's down to her last little bit of oil. So spirit-filled Elisha comes in and he tells her what to do. Borrow empty containers. Get them from all your friends and all your neighbors. Go into your house. Shut your door. Start filling up those containers with that little smidge of oil that you have. Keep filling them, every one of them, to the rim, up to the top, till they are all topped off, and then there is no more oil. And then you can sell the oil and pay your debts and live with your two sons. And she did everything he told her to do. And it worked out well for her. She lived, she saved her sons, she had her home, her life. But we know that in math and in music, jars don't just fill up to capacity with a smidge of oil just because we wish they would, or we pray they would, or we believe really hard that they will. We know that nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You got to have something. This is beyond literal, see? This is about what is in her and in Elisha that cannot be measured. That she believes that little is much when God is in it. That she believes that those who are empty can be filled up by God again and again and again. That she believes people with a few good friends and neighbors are rich. That with God, anything is possible. And it's never all over because God can fill you again. What provides for you when you are all poured out? When you can't see that there's anything left? What finds life for you and will not run out on you? You see, this is about the Spirit of God that is in you and around you. For all the powers and the spirits that can come at us in the world, that can fill you up and live in you or throw you down, how do you get the Spirit of God and keep it? Anne said, everything in her life was wrong. Nothing was good. All the news was bad. She was sad. Things were awful. And she was angry. And her husband warned us about it. He said, look out. When anger rises up in Anne, men are known to climb trees and roll them up after them. The spirit of anger had her instead of God. Doesn't anger threaten all of us like that? It wants to rule you instead of God. So a spirit-filled friend blew in to Anne, one or two of them. And then Anne wrote, this is the most profound spiritual truth that I know, that even when we're sure that love can't conquer it all, it seems to anyway. It comes down into that rat hole with you in the guise of friends. And there it swells and it comforts and giving you a second wind and a third wind and a hundredth wind until we rise up again. Until we rise up again. Anne or Anne's friends, John wants us to know who we are. What fills the God-forsaken world with God's presence again for you? Do I have this great gift of spirit? Because not everybody does. Is it hard to come by? Are some people born with it? Is it for everybody? Well, John says, for God so loved the whole world, he gave it to the whole world. How do you get spirit? Old Testament professor at Columbia Theological Seminary, Walter Brueggemann, he says, the good news is God's wind is blowing all around you already. And it may be a breeze that comforts you and cools you and you stop and receive it. Or it may be a gust and it summons you to notice and you have questions and you ask and you seek. Or it may be a strong wind, a storm that takes you where you've never been before. But whatever that wind is that blows in your life, pay attention to it. Listen for God. So they knew enough that they wanted to join the church. And you know what you do. You attend this dinner, and then you go around and you say your names and you say why you want to join this church. And so one person said, well, this church has good music, you know, like Mickey and the guitarist over there, and you guys can sing. Good music. I want to join the church. Another one said, we like the pastor here. We didn't like the pastor there. We like the pastor here. We're joining. A third one said, well, we have a teenager and there's a good youth program here, so we want to come to this church. And Marshall said, 3 years ago, I walked into the outreach center of this church high on heroin and needing some help. And the lady said, I can't get you into a rehab center right now, but if you'll hang with me, then I will hang with you. And she took me by my hand, and she knelt down on the office floor with me, and she prayed for me until I had some new strength, until I had some hope. And he said, I've been clean and sober for 3 years now. And I want to join because I got a second life in this church. And they all felt it right then. They all saw its effects right then. And one of them said it. We're here for the music. He's here for more life with God. He was born again out of a storm. To a new life, more life with God, and this time with Spirit. When the economy sank in 2008, layoffs were in order. But for some reason, Bob wasn't going to hand out the pink slips in his company. He said, better for all to suffer a little than for any one to suffer alone a lot. And a new wind blew through that place. And everybody in it sort of was inspired. And they all took 4 weeks unpaid vacation, and then they were all saved. But for some reason, Ken took 5 weeks of unpaid vacation because he knew that Judy could only afford to take 3 weeks of unpaid vacation because she had her mother and her children. You look for sweet spirit to give birth to your spirit right then and right there in that place. She was the only youth who came to church that day, the only one. And they didn't force her to come. Her parents didn't force her to come. Her grandmother was not taking her to Eaton Park after worship. And she sat near me for the fellowship time. She was singing this song. You know, she had the beats on. She was nodding. Something very real deep down in her. And it was just coming out of her. And she looked over to me and she said, you know this song? And I smiled and I nodded. I did. I don't want to love the way I loved before. I don't want to sing the way I sang before. I don't want to be that girl no more. I don't want to die no more. I don't want to cry no more. I'm going to sing songs of living and forgiving, songs of eating and drinking, songs of living and songs of light. Oh, take me to church. Yeah, take me to church, but not the ones that hurt, because that ain't the truth and that's not what it's for. Oh, take me to church. Another person wants to be spirit-filled and she's coming to the church. Will she find it here in any of us? In a shared experience or a personal experience, will she find spirit? A favorite theologian of mine, Jürgen Moltmann, he wrote a book called The Source of Life, The Holy Spirit and the Theology of Life. The Holy Spirit is not one of a random number of good and evil spirits that are out there in the world, he said. It is the way that we experience God from within ourselves. You know, through our lives, through all of our senses, when we taste something, when we touch something or someone, when we see something, when we hear something, when we smell something, you know, that is God in our life and our lives in God. And it is the most wonderful thing on earth when you start to feel that, he said. Nicodemus and Jesus, this woman and Elisha, and people we can all name who are filled with the Spirit, where are you? And where will you go from here? And will Spirit go with you? May the Spirit of God fill every one of you. And may you grow with God from the inside out in an ever-deepening relationship that you have of care with God over time that I believe you have. And the blessings of God and the healing of God and the light of God, may it be in you and remain with you until you enter God's kingdom fully. Amen.